Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into our lesson. Our Father, this morning, just as we always do, we direct our thoughts to you. We ask you to quiet us. We've had busy mornings. And now we want to give our attention to your word, because your word is the source of life. We thank you for our abundant access to your word. And I thank you for all the ladies that got up this morning and made preparation to put themselves under the teaching of your word. What a wise choice it is for us to choose life, to choose to be women of your word, to choose to be women of your book. And I pray this morning that you'll take our lesson and you'll challenge us and you'll build us up through it, and that, Father, we'll leave here with fresh spiritual thoughts in our hearts that will grow and produce fruit in us. And we just pray now, as always, that you will speak very personally to us. Just cup our faces in your hand. May we feel your love. May we feel your presence. May we feel you through your Holy Spirit gently leading us in the way of righteousness. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am loving this study. Are you? And so this morning we're going to look at another virtue. And the name of our virtue for today, who knows? Prudence. Prudence. What an old-timey word. Prudence. It makes me think of prunes. I don't know why. What on earth does prudence mean? Prudence was actually a very popular girl's name during the Puritan era. And I'm not sure exactly when that was, but that was a very popular name. But what does it mean, prudence? Let's write it down. It means cautiousness. Cautiousness. That's one meaning of the word. And then let's expand it a little bit. Let's write this down. It means acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Now, that it's a word we don't use very often, but it's going to unlock for us this morning a virtue that we certainly should desire for ourselves. Because virtue is something that we should be diligently adding to our faith. That's what we saw in our foundation verse. Now, we're going to be looking a lot this morning at the book of Proverbs in the Bible. I want to make a suggestion to you. If you take one chapter of the book of Proverbs a day, you will read that book in a month. It was written by the wisest man in the world. We need wisdom. And so if you just take, it will probably take you less than 5 minutes, just read through one chapter a day. Now, today's June 4th, so I'm going to read chapter 4. And this is something I've been doing now for almost a year. And so what you do is at the end of a year, you've read through the book of Proverbs 12 times. And think about what you're reading. Get wisdom for daily life, because it's just full of wisdom. It's a book for those who would be wise. So we certainly want to give our attention to it this morning. Let's begin in Proverbs 19. Look on your handout. I want to go to verse 14. Now, we're thinking about prudence. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, obviously, just looking at that verse, we can say that God must value a woman who is prudent. She's a prize. She's a valuable gift given to any man. Obviously, as Bill and I got married, he didn't get much money when he married me. It would have been wonderful if his parents had been able to give us houses and land. Wouldn't that have been great? Have y'all ever noticed on South Jackson the twin streets? I mean the twin houses. It's my understanding that those were gifts to sons when they got married. Now that would be nice. Those are beautiful houses. That would have been good. But God can do better than houses and land. He has the ability to give something even more valuable to a man. He can give her a wife who is prudent. Now let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Am I prudent? Am I prudent? Let's study. Let's see together this morning exactly what would that look like in my life. And to do that, we're going to study a little deeper, and we're going to see that prudence actually has a very close cousin, and they run together in the same circles, and they go together. And so prudence's close cousin is called discretion. Let's talk about discretion a minute, because it is a synonym to prudence. And each is used in defining the other, and they're seen together so many times in Scripture. Now, God doesn't think much of a woman who doesn't have discretion. Let me show you a verse out of Proverbs 11. Look at it on your handout, verse 22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. A beautiful woman who's indiscreet is compared to a pig wearing jewelry. What a silly picture. What is discretion? Let's write down a few things. It's the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Here's another thought to add to our list. Discretion is the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. Let's do a little more digging so we can understand how we can adorn ourselves properly in a way that pleases and delights our Lord. Let's go to Proverbs 8:12, because there we find prudence and discretion mentioned together. And wisdom is speaking here. And let's see what wisdom has to say. I dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Now, what we find out in this verse is that prudence and discretion are hanging out together, and they're also hanging out with two more companions, wisdom and knowledge. Now, go back to verse 12, the last one there that we just looked at. I want you to see there that wisdom is finding out discretion. And that means wisdom is searching out discretion. Now, what is it that you were searching out in your life? What are you desiring in your heart? We're seeing here that a prudent woman, a woman who has discretion, she isn't all about desiring more of the world's stuff. You don't see that mentioned there. She's not hanging out with worldly things. But she is searching out, finding, looking for, seeking knowledge and wisdom. She is all about adding virtue to her faith, searching for wisdom, looking to grow spiritually, looking to learn more knowledge, more spiritual knowledge. That is what a prudent woman looks like. Let's look at some more scriptures that show us some things that are going to show us some characteristics of prudence and of discretion. Let's write this one down first. Discretion and prudence safeguards against quick or angry reactions. That's the first thing. Now go with me to Proverbs 19:11. It says there, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. I like this guy. You see, if we have prudence, if we have discretion, we're going to be very deliberate in our actions, and we are not going to react. And one other thing I see there in that verse is that the fruit of discretion is patience with people, and it's forgiveness. Now listen to me this morning. I'm so tempted, I could just go off on a tangent talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge with us. There is no virtue in keeping a personal record of wrongs that have been done to us. Did you know that? Now, I could go back in my life. There have been some things done that are wrong. But there's no virtue in keeping a mental list. Teresa, that's easy to say, and that's hard to live out. I know it. But when you study Scripture, what you learn about forgiveness is you have to release it. You have to let it go. You have to leave the results with God. Because you know what? If you don't, it hurts you. You have to let God deal with all of the wrongs that have been done to you. Do you know what? He keeps a very careful record. He keeps an exactly careful. He records every word, ladies. He forgets nothing that was done to you. It will all come to account. And so can I just say to us this morning, it is to our glory to overlook a transgression. Are you touchy? Some of us have a personality that's sensitive. And we pick up on things all the time. Other people, it just goes over their head. They never pick up on anything. But then those who are sensitive get home. What did they mean by that? What did she mean when she said that? And it's so easy to analyze and come up with offenses. But it is to our glory to overlook a transgression. In fact, you will never be more like God than when you overlook a transgression. Because what does He do in the blood of Christ? He overlooks all of our transgressions. Now this helps us. God, who has forgiven me so great a debt, is calling me to forgive those who have sinned against me with lesser debts. Not that they're going to get away with anything. God's going to have a count with each one of us. But He's calling me to leave the results with Him and to overlook a transgression. I'll just say this, unforgiveness, it's very costly. It will cost you to keep that record of wrongs, to nurse your bitternesses, to rehearse the offenses done against you, playing the mental tape over and over and over again. That hurts you. In fact, I'll say this. I'm 70 now. Forgiveness is a wonderful beauty treatment. Because unforgiveness will be written on your face. Let's move on. Number two. Prudence, discretion, they are not gullible. So write that down. Gullible. Now I want to refer us to a verse out of 2 Timothy. And Paul is, he's warning Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, there's some men out there who are not lovers of God. You need to avoid these men. And he says, these are the kind of men, let me show you what they do. Look at verse 6. They're ungodly, and these kind of men, he says, enter households. And then he describes a certain kind of woman that they kind of prey on. Look at verse 6. For among them are those, speaking of those evil men, who enter into households and captivate. And here's what we don't want to be. Weak women weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses. Other translations call these women idle women. So what does it mean that prudence and discretion aren't gullible? Well, think with me. A prudent woman, a woman with discretion, is not going to be easily captured by or influenced unwisely by others who are ungodly. She's just not gullible. She doesn't just swallow and believe any old thing. Look at Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. You see, a prudent person is far-sighted. A prudent person anticipates what the consequences of her choices and her behavior will mean. A prudent woman is carefully considering her steps. And she takes her time. And she thinks well over her ways. And she's not impulsive. And she's not driven by her emotions. Let's go to a third characteristic. Sweetness comes out of the mouth of a prudent woman. Sweetness. I like that. Look at Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Prudence is going to begin in our hearts, and like everything else, whatever is in your heart is going to come out where? Of your mouth. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 6:45. He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, a mouth speaks. Do you want to really know what's in your heart? Just listen to what comes out of your mouth, and it will tell you. It will show you if you are a prudent woman. Let's go to number four. A prudent woman is growing in learning. Now, I don't want to be like the foolish woman that's described in Proverbs 14:1, it says there, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. See, prudence edifies. Prudence is always building up. Prudence doesn't tear down, destroy. A prudent woman is all about sharpening her skills for living. She's growing in wisdom. She's growing in her skill and in her knowledge. Look at Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. You see, this prudent woman that we're longing to be has a passion for seriously pursuing knowledge and wisdom. And she's not lazy about it. She's always carving out time. She's always seeking to study. She's always in Sunday school. She has this unquenchable thirst to learn more because she wants to live wisely. She wants to be more effective in her life. This describes a wise woman as one who is acquiring knowledge, seeking knowledge, increasing in her learning. Listen, she is not intellectually lazy. Let's go to number 5. 3 words to write here. Prudence and discretion. 3 things. What do they do for us? Well, preserves. That's the first word. Preserves. Second word, keeps. And the third word, delivers. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the thought that something can preserve my life, something can keep my life, something can be a source of deliverance for me. Now, let me show you where I get those 3 words. Look at Proverbs 2, 10 through 12. It says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will, notice, preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. If you are prudent, if you are operating with discretion, then wisdom and knowledge are pleasant to you. You're enjoying the benefits of being preserved and kept and delivered. Now go back to the very last verse in that group, verse 12. Because that's going to give us something else to note for number 6. And let's just write it down first. And it's this. A prudent woman will steer clear of perverse men. She's going to steer clear of perverse men. She's going to keep her distance from perverse men. Notice in that verse, they are the ones who speak perverse things. A lack of discretion, it's often associated with the tongue. Listen to what people are saying. Wise women listen carefully. They act accordingly. They're discerning, is another word. So let's write it this way on our handout. Prudence and discretion is associated with discernment. Is that on your handout? Okay, good. So now we're seeing another close cousin come into play. We've got prudence, we've got discretion, and the other cousin arrives, and his name is discernment. What is discernment? Well, discernment knows how to make distinctions between right and wrong. Discernment shows good judgment. Write that down. Having discernment, then, is a sign of maturity and experience. And those who are prudent and discreet have discernment, and the reason why is they've been trained in God's word. Now let's look at some verses in closing. Hebrews 5:14. Let these sink in this morning. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So as we're closing this morning, there's one more thought I want to leave with you that we need to take note of. Only the wise Christian has access to being discerning, to being prudent and to having discretion. These are things the Spirit of God is offering to us because we're in Christ. It's God who opens our eyes to see these spiritual truths. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always asking God, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see more of you, to learn more of your way, to understand more of your truth, so that I might be transformed even more. I want to stand out in my generation as a woman who is impacting her circles of influence for righteousness' sake. God, make me into a discerning woman. Make me into a prudent woman. Make me into a woman using discretion. God, make the Bible come alive to me. Before I came to Christ, and I close with this, I was in a church, and it was full of godly women. And I was so attracted to all these godly spiritual women. They were all around me. And they were so loving, and they loved on me. And I liked them. I liked what they had. And I wasn't saved yet. I was just churched. But I was a good little Southern girl, and I thought being a Christian meant you went to church. I wanted to be like them. I noticed something about them. They gave great value to the Word of God. And they always had their Bibles with them. And when they opened up their Bibles, well, they actually knew how to find the books of the Bible, which I didn't. And then I looked in their Bibles at marks, writing, all kinds of things, stars. I thought, wow, when did they have time to do all that? And so I thought, well, I want to be like them. So I just got my Bible out, and I started to write and try to do all that they did. But the Bible was such a dead book to me. I couldn't really understand it. I mean, I just didn't get it. And then I got saved. I got born again. The Spirit of God actually came into me. From that point on, the Bible became alive to me. I could not get enough of the Word of God. And God began to open my eyes to see amazing, wonderful truths in His Word. And as I started studying, I set my heart to obey what I was learning. And as I did, the Bible became my source, and it began to lead me into the ways of abundant life. I'm just going to tell you this morning, the Word of God, it is the very fountain of virtue. And I'm so happy we're drinking deeply from it together in this study. I pray God is taking these lessons. He's opening our eyes. He's leading us in the way of virtue. May we increase in virtue. Now let's take, we've got 15 minutes left. Take your questions at the end of our chapter. What page are they on? 38. And then I'll come back up and close us in prayer.